Welcome to the Prosperity Podcast, fresh, alternative personal finance talk for independent thinkers who prosper outside of Wall Street. Here's your host, best-selling author, Kim D.H. Butler, and no BS money guy, Todd Strobel.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Prosperity Podcast. This is no BS money guy, Todd Strobel. Once again, we have our best-selling financial author and my co-host, Kim Butler, with us today.
Hello, Todd. Glad to be here. We're going to be talking about life settlements in a little bit different way because there is the beginning of a life settlement process, and that has a very specific question around it. Why don't you go ahead and ask?
Super. So today's show is what people do when they can't make their life insurance premiums.
Ah, yes. The ever-present life insurance premium. So it's interesting. You know, if you're in a position where you're 70, 80, maybe even 90 years old, and maybe it's not you, but it's your parents, and you've owned this life insurance policy for a while, and you never really liked it, but you kept making the premium payments, and now your kids are grown, and there's really not a great desire to have the death benefit, and cash is getting a little tight, so you pull out this policy statement, and it's probably a universal life policy because it's the kind of policy that was typically provided to various buyers of life insurance in the 50s, 60s, 70s. I'm talking about 1970. And you're looking at it, and it's got some cash value, but you really don't want to make the premiums, and you're not really sure you want the death benefit. So what do you do? Have I laid out the fact pattern well enough?
Super. And one thing I would like to point out is it's not always a financial hardship either. There may be other things that you might want to do with that money rather than spend it on the premiums.
Absolutely. And there's a chance that there may be a illness in the family. There may be an opportunity to buy a business. I mean, there's all kinds of things that could generate you taking a new look at this life insurance policy. And so enter the, what is this, stage left with a drum roll or something like that? Enter the concept of life settlements, because typically in the past, now it's interesting because life settlements have been around since 1911, I believe, but never mind. In the past, if people got to a point where they couldn't or didn't want to keep paying their life insurance premiums, they just canceled their policy and they took whatever cash value was there and on down the road they went. And that's a shame because since 1911, the life settlement option has been a viable, federally approved in the court system structure whereby a senior person, so again, this is somebody in their 80s and 90s, could sell their life insurance policy for an amount greater than the cash value. So let's just lay out a scenario. Let's say somebody has $1 million death benefit and their premium is $20,000 a year because they bought that life insurance policy when they were quite a bit older. And maybe the cash value is $100,000. And so they're looking at it, and this has been a thinly funded policy, and they haven't had it too long, but you know, 5 to 10 years, maybe that time frame. So they're looking at this cash value, and they're thinking, well, if I just cancel the thing, I'll get my 100,000. But if I could actually sell it, I might be able to get $200,000, $300,000, $500,000. Now, why would that happen? And let me just check in with you again. Have we laid out the facts?
Yes. Just when you're looking at a life insurance transaction, you are paying premiums to an insurance company in exchange for a guaranteed death benefit. Generally, the death benefit is paid to the heirs tax-free. So your insurability is in fact an asset. And now what we're saying is that, you know, you protected that asset by purchasing that life insurance policy, which we certainly do recommend, but now the purpose for buying that policy no longer exists. Maybe you had a business, maybe you had a lot of debt, maybe you had young kids at home. So the situation has now changed where you would like to stop making the payments, number one, and two, potentially receive money back while you are living rather than, of course, waiting for the alternative.
Yeah. Yes. Somebody's going to get money. It's a question of who, right? So one of the things that a person in that position can do, so you're 80, 90 years old and you have this policy and it has $100,000 of cash value, you could clearly cancel it or surrender it and get your 100 grand, and it may or may not be taxable depending on your basis and how much has grown. But you could also sell the policy intact. You're literally selling the death benefit. You're not even dealing with the cash value. And by selling the death benefit, you would get out of premiums, because remember, that was our original question. What do people do when they either can't or don't want to make their premiums anymore? And then you could, by selling the death benefit, get a lot more than the cash value. Let's just say for the purposes of today's call that it's going to be three times the cash value. So you would receive $300,000 for your $1 million life insurance policy that only had $100,000 of cash in it. And again, this has been in the courts, an approved transaction since 1911. And it's called a life settlement. Oftentimes it's known as a senior life settlement. And I want to separate these out from what are known as viatical policies, because in the 90s, when AIDS was a big epidemic, a lot of people became aware of the concept of a viatical policy. And a viatical policy or viatical settlement is something that's done when the person has a life expectancy of less than 2 years. But a life settlement is, by definition, where the person has a life expectancy of greater than 2 years. Now, our discussion today is not necessarily about the investment side of it. We have lots of conversations around investing in life settlements, and we can talk about that more at another time. Our discussion is more about what do you, as a 70 or 80 year old, or what do your parents do when they either can't pay the premiums or don't want to pay the premiums or don't want the death benefit anymore. And the simple answer is they need to look into the idea of the life settlement, selling their death benefit. They can often get 2 to 4 times their cash value. So in this case, $100,000 cash value turned into $300,000 in our example. And that's a win-win, because that 85-year-old person or 80 years old or what have you got out of the premium payments. Remember, the premium payments have been 20 grand a year, and they got 300,000 of cash to be used for whatever they wanted. It's completely strings free. Now, it is going to be taxable because it was selling and it was getting a gain. And I'm not going to discuss whether it's capital gains or not. That's going to be determined by your CPA, but it enables that individual and maybe even that individual's family to get $300,000 as opposed to $100,000 and no more premiums as opposed to $20,000 of premiums a year. Now, of course, what is gone is the $1 million death benefit. Now somebody else owns that. So it can be a little bit of an interesting scenario, but let me just pause and see if there's any questions so far.
I think maybe one of the ways to describe this that might help people get it picture is a lot of times universities will promote this type of thing to its alumni, because it's a way for to actually donate money to the school and see the benefits while you're living. So maybe that's an example that helps people.
Sure. And you're right. Universities and other charitable organizations have entire departments of people that help their clients, their donors, if you will, understand the various strategies that are out there. And it is very common for somebody to sell or even donate a life insurance policy as an asset. And that's the important thing that we want to make clear on today, is that a life insurance policy, and as you mentioned, your insurability at the time that you got approved are both assets, and they can be sold, leveraged, borrowed against, and used just like any other asset. So just like you could sell a piece of real estate or sell a desk or sell a stock, you can sell a life insurance policy. And if the person selling the policy has a shortened life expectancy for some reason, typically a medical condition, then that policy is worth even more than if that person does not. So again, let's use our 85-year-old person as an example. Sometimes maybe an 85-year-old person would have a terminal illness and maybe they've been given 5 to 6 years to live. Well, that type of person could sell their policy for a lot more than an 85-year-old person that's very healthy and has a clean bill of health from the medical establishment and walks every day and maybe still works and does the kinds of things out and about that indicate a healthy person. They're going to sell their policy for less, but it could still be done. So again, we're not talking about the investment side. We're talking about selling your policy and what can you do if you don't want to make premium payments anymore and how can you go about this? So we can help. You're welcome to reach out at Partners for Prosperity. We can put you in touch with buyers of life insurance policies. I would say at a minimum, you're going to want to have the insured be age 80. Age 85 and age 90 are more common. When you're lower than that, like 70, it's really too soon because unless there's an extreme terminal illness, clearly a 70-year-old has got another 20 years ahead of them. And so it's harder for them to sell their life insurance policies. Now, they can. So if you're a 70-year-old and healthy, you can still leverage your death benefit. And we've talked about that in some other conversations about using or leveraging or spending your death benefit while you're living. You can still do that. But in terms of actually selling it and creating a environment where you get the cash, that's going to be tougher for a 70-year-old to do. One of the questions that I know people have is, okay, I'm 85 years old. I have this $1 million death benefit. I now sell it and John Doe or ABC Mutual Fund owns my policy. Isn't that a little weird? And yeah, it can be. And people even sometimes bring this up in terms of a moral issue. But thankfully, in today's world, everybody pretty much knows you exist anyway. With the invention of the internet and all of the various identities that are out there, there's not very many people that are walking around unannounced on this earth today, especially in the United States. So when a policy is sold, often the last name is still attached to it, but nothing else. There's not a residence address. There's not a social security number. There's not a phone number. There's not a website or anything else. And so people can be assured that if they did sell their policy, they're not going to have the Grim Reaper coming to look for them at night. They just know that that policy often gets placed in a pool where nobody even knows the last name of the insured, a pool or a mutual fund of life settlements, if you will, whereby there are just a whole bunch of policies in the fund and the investors buy the fund, thereby getting access to all the policies, not any one individual policy. Of course, there are cases where an individual policy is sold to an individual person. And then, of course, that person is going to know. But it is a fairly common structure these days. And there's lots of proof, both in the legal community as well as in the trust community and even in the escrow community, about the legitimacy and the straightforwardness and the transparency of this transaction and how it truly is a win-win for both the seller and the buyer.
I think it's improved the life insurance industry as a whole, because if we go back and look at that person who's 40 years old, they've made 40 years worth of premium payments. And if the only person that could buy them out was the insurance company that they were with, there's not a big market there. By bringing in additional players into the market, sometimes the original life insurance company buys these policies, from what I understand, correct?
Absolutely. And in our example, the original company, in essence, is buying them if they choose to surrender it or cancel it. In other words, all they would get is $100,000. And you're absolutely right about the fact that the life settlement industry has actually helped the life insurance industry step it up a notch and have an open marketplace where there are numerous buyers for these policies in addition to the main insurance company that underwrote or provided the life insurance policy to begin with. Because when there's only one buyer, you don't really have a fair marketplace. However, when there's numerous buyers, and this is what somebody interested in selling would do, they go get quotes from those buyers and then they can sell to the highest bidder or the one with the best terms or whatever it is that they're looking for. In most cases, the policies are sold in their entirety, but there's even an opportunity for a split deal. Let's say somebody's got $1 million death benefit and $100,000 of cash value, and they want a couple hundred thousand, but they still want to keep maybe $300,000 of the death benefit. Well, there's a buyer out there that would take over $700,000 of the death benefit, leave the family $300,000, and pay that $200,000 price. So lots of different scenarios can happen there. And again, we're more than happy to help. This is something that though we do not buy them personally or business-wise ourselves, we know who the buyers are. We can get you the contacts. And if you are in that situation, reach out to us. We're happy to make that transaction known to the players and see if we can make it a win-win for everybody.
The life settlement industry is definitely here to stay. Can't even speak today. In some states, I think maybe 5 of them now actually require that the senior be notified if they're going to lose a policy or sell a policy. They have to be notified that this option exists so that they have a chance to sell that policy on the open market.
Absolutely. And that hopefully will turn into all 50 states. And we'll continue to beat this drum because it is a transaction that we like. And we like the investment side of it. Again, subject for a later day. But we like the fact that it's helping seniors as well. And though we don't want people to retire and we don't want people to be forced into financial decisions, as you said, sometimes this is an opportunity-oriented decision, not an emergency-oriented decision. And either way, we can absolutely help.
Super. Well, there's two possible things that you could be thinking about right now. Number one, maybe you have one of these life insurance policies and you'd like to understand better what your options are. Or two, maybe you have some excess cash and you'd like to be able to invest in this asset class, in which case, I guess the question would be, what is the minimum investment amount and what are the expected rates of return? And then we'll wrap up.
Absolutely. So if you are interested in investing, typically $100,000, although on occasion we can get that down to $50,000, it is a requirement you're accredited investor, which is $1 million net worth and either $200,000 or $300,000 of income, depending on whether you're married or not. So if that holds some interest for you, reach out. We're happy to share with you the various ways that you can become an investor in that. And it's typically a 7 to 9 year timeframe, low double digit returns, very little chance of loss of principal. And it does work for either IRA money or after tax money as well.
And the big buzzword today is, of course, non-correlated investments. Would this qualify as one of those?
Absolutely. Doesn't matter who's in the presidency, what's going on in the stock market, where interest rates are, what's happening in the bond market, the real estate market, none of that matters. Death, as we know it, is a guaranteed event, and a life insurance payout is typically guaranteed as well, unless there's a body that has disappeared. And even then, after a while, they pay the death claim. Insurance companies are known for paying their death claims as stated.
Super. Well, this is No BS Money Guy Todd Strobel for the Prosperity Podcast. Once again, thanking Kim Butler. Take care, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Prosperity Podcast. To take control of your money and have it work for you, visit us at partnersforprosperity.com. If you liked this episode, make sure you subscribe and leave a review.